State investigators, backed by the New Mexico Department of Justice under Attorney General Raul Torres, launched a full-scale search of the former Epstein estate.
The so-called Truth Commission seeks to identify ranch guests and state officials who may have known what was going on at the 7,600-acre property or taken part in alleged sexual abuse.
The fact of the matter was that he was basically doing anything he wanted in this state without any accountability whatsoever. And the ranch that exists out near Stanley, New Mexico, is basically on a two-lane highway in the middle of nowhere. It was him with an airstrip and a sprawling place that he brought folks to that we know very little, if nothing, about.
Now renamed San Rafael Ranch and owned by Texas businessman Don Huffine since 2023, oddly enough.
This was obviously a dark place, and we wanted to put light in a dark place. It always shines the brightest when you do that.
Hang on a minute. Why did Republican Texas comptroller candidate Don Huffines, through his venture firm Hest Investments, pour $1.8 million into Secretome Therapeutics back in 2024, a biotech outfit pushing regenerative medicine with their lead product STM-01, derived from neonatal cardiac progenitor cells sourced from babies under 30 days old, specifically infant heart tissue from newborns with congenital defects undergoing surgery. Meanwhile, Huffine's family snapped up Jeffrey Epstein's notorious Zorro Ranch in New Mexico at public auction years after the notorious transhumanist's death. A Texas politician tied to Epstein property in New Mexico, who is now invested in transhumanist therapies, literally banking on infant hearts. Bizarre. Epstein openly discussed using the ranch as a base for outlandish eugenics-inspired schemes, including plans to impregnate multiple women with his DNA to seed an improved human race through artificial insemination and genetic engineering, ideas he pitched to scientists from the Santa Fe Institute and other elite circles he courted in New Mexico.
My name is Juliet Bryant. I was kidnapped by Jeffrey Epstein 22 years ago. A lot of frightening things happened there.
I went outside to have a cigarette. I saw these three lights like in a triangle formation. Everything got weird. I felt very scared. But then what happened is I got locked out. I couldn't get back in. That's also the time when I have that sort of flashback where I wake up paralyzed in a lab. There are six beings in hazmat suits around me. There's like a female doctor by my head.
It's okay. It's gonna be okay.
I think they were taking our eggs.
Whispers of even darker horrors have swirled around Zorro Ranch for years, fueled by an anonymous 2019 email purporting to come from a former staffer claiming that two foreign girls died by strangulation during rough fetish sex and were buried in the quiet hills nearby on orders from Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
In fact, there are records dating back to the mid-1990s of abuse happening at the ranch, including a report to the FBI in 1996 by a survivor and multiple other reports over the years. And one of the significant and important pieces of this case is to understand why justice was never pursued at the state, local, or federal level.
Zorro Ranch isn't short of strange. Back in July 2008, right as Epstein was checking into his cushy Florida jail suite for that sweetheart plea deal, his Zorro Trust suddenly clutched a $80 million winning Powerball ticket by none other than Bryce Gordon, Epstein's longtime ranch manager and the guy listed as trustee who signed off on the payout. The payout is confirmed by public records. Sounds more like a payoff. Epstein starts prison time and boom, his New Mexico playground gets an eight-figure cash infusion, likely to keep something very quiet. This renewed scrutiny could finally unearth long-buried truths or expose how deep the rot truly went in Epstein's empire of exploitation and delusion.
The Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Today on this beautiful Thursday morning, a lot happening here that we're excited that you're jumping in on. Of course, you know, we've got a lot to chat about today. President Trump saying he knows where those Iranian Islamic sleeper cells are, but does he really? Because, well, we're going to kind of dispute that a bit, because DHS Secretary Kristi Noem was under oath and she said, we actually don't know where they are. And if you knew where they are, wouldn't you arrest them by now? Wouldn't you get DHS to take them out of the country? It's quite the interesting claim that's being made by the president. He's also claiming we won the war with Iran, but then he also said it's not a war with Iran. So it's all quite confusing. We'll dive into that in a little bit. By the way, the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, he actually just came out and said yesterday on Fox News that, all right, maybe they took the woke stuff a little too far. You don't say? You don't say. You got to hear this clip because it's interesting because he keeps distancing himself from the woke movement. But the reality of it is he was one of the main operators behind everything. Now, it's interesting to sit back and watch. We've got the proof, though, that he's full of you-know-what. We look forward to giving that to you as well. Plus, there's a lot going on right now between President Trump's attorneys and New York AG Letitia James. The president's attorneys are demanding right now all of the internal communication with Letitia James and Michael Cohen. That's because Michael Cohen came out and said, all right, I was kind of into this big lie that the president was somehow, some way working with the administration. Was working with Tish James in giving that false lie and throwing him under the bus. Also, you might have missed it, but Matt Gaetz, his vault, his FBI vault, was actually just posted online. You know, we've been kind of sifting through it, and it's quite the interesting relevant. I can't even speak today, folks. This is what happens when you don't have caffeine in the morning. It's very, very interesting what we're learning this morning. Why? Well, because Matt Gaetz, it looks like it was a setup from what we could see so far. Now, it's heavily redacted documents. We've kind of sifted through it. We'll bring you the very latest on that front. But it's really frustrating because, you know, Matt Gaetz told you that he was being targeted, and it looks to be true. Plus, President Trump is going off on the Kentucky congressman, Mr. Thomas Massie. We'll play a clip for you yesterday because it's interesting when you watch the back and forth between two. Massie's not really going after the president directly, right? He'll go out there and talk about the Epstein files, but he doesn't call the president names. I haven't really seen any of that. But President Trump yesterday was fired up about him. And then also the president had a rally yesterday in Kentucky. We'll play that clip for you as well. Plus, I got a lot more going on in the show today. We got a lot to dig into. Sarah Adams, as many of you guys know, she was formerly with the CIA. She's out here warning the American people about a potential Al-Qaeda terror attack that could be happening on U.S. soil. She's been sifting through all the information that they make publicly available, and she wants the American people to know exactly what's going on. So let's dive into the top of the program today. We're going to give you that update regarding what's happening right now in Iran. President Trump spoke yesterday, like I mentioned, at that rally in Kentucky. We'll play a couple of clips from that. But most importantly, actually had a very busy day yesterday. The president yesterday declared that we've actually officially won our war against Iran in clip one. Take a listen.
Is that a great name? Well, it's only good if you win. You know, you can only do. And we've won. Let me say, we've won. You know, you never like to say too early you won. We won. We won the bet. In the first hour, it was over. But we won. But they gave me a list of names. That you know, sir, you can pick the name you'd like, sir. I said, the name of what? The name of the attack on Iran, sir. And they gave me like 20 names. And I'm like falling asleep. I didn't like any of them. Then I see Epic Fury. I said, I like that name. I like that name.
Yeah, he likes that name. By the way, the White House not saying that we actually had a full-on war with Iran or we're having a full-on war with Iran. It's quite strange, the language that's being used right now. It's a bit of a back and forth. But again, I mean, the president saying that that's why he picked the name. That's why he picked the name. Listen to the president in clip two, specifically now how he's detailing what happened. Again, I don't even know what to call it at this point. But the president also clarifying how we could all refer to it in clip two. Take a listen.
You just said it is a little excursion and you said it is a war. So which one is it?
Well, it's both. It's both. It's an excursion that will keep us out of a war. And the war is going to be, for them, it's a war. For us, it's turned out to be easier than we thought.
I mean, it did. According to reports, all the targets have been pretty much hit in Iran. That was Axios reporting just that. So it's been very successful in that sense. Now, I know a lot of our audience, obviously, is not supportive of this. And again, you guys know my opinion on this. But a lot of us are very concerned in regards to the potential sleeper cells that, obviously, the Biden regime released into this country. Now, I've given you numbers. I've spoken to DHS. They gave us the figures as well. When it comes to the amount of, again, suspected known terrorists into this country that were released, you could just kind of figure that based on the numbers that were given to us by Joe Kent, and then if you run it by the numbers that were handed to me by DHS, we've only captured about 7.8% of those known and suspected terrorists that were released into the country by the Biden regime. As a result of that, now the FBI, this is why I'm always like a little iffy because, you know, I don't really trust the FBI. But the FBI is actually warning local law enforcement agencies in California to prepare potentially for there to be an attack launched by any sleeper cells in their region. Take a listen to clip three in the report that was just released by ABC News.
The FBI warning of possible Iranian drone attacks on our homeland, a new alert reviewed by ABC News revealing Iran's aspirations to conduct a surprise attack specifically against unspecified targets in California. The FBI saying it's warned police departments across the Golden State now of strikes by unmanned aerial vehicles or drones as tensions rise in the Middle East. Let's get straight to our chief investigative correspondent, Aaron Kantursky. Aaron, what are you learning?
We've reviewed an alert that came within the last couple of weeks, Kira, just recently from the FBI to law enforcement agencies up and down the California coastline, warning that Iran is aspiring now to perhaps launch some kind of a retaliatory attack on the U.S. mainland using drones on the West Coast. The alert that we reviewed said an uncorroborated report suggested that unidentified Mexican cartel leaders had authorized attacks using drones carrying explosives, so they know that capability exists. And the separate alert that we've reviewed, Kira, says that Iran has those same kinds of aspirations. So the U.S. has broadly known for some time that drones could be deployed against the homeland. We know that Iran has been using drones significantly in this 12-day-old war with the United States. That's what killed the first six U.S. service members in this war. But now the FBI is specifically warning police agencies in California along the Pacific coastline that Iran is aspiring to use them to attack in the West.
So why California? Why the West?
Good question. And that's not exactly clear, but perhaps there's thought that Iran has these things pre-positioned on ships that are still in international waters or that could float through international waters. We know that we've previously reported, Kira, on Iran's desire to perhaps activate sleeper cells in the United States, although that's certainly far from confirmed or far from anything operational as far as law enforcement knows. It's not clear why the West Coast as opposed to the East Coast, but that's what the alert from the FBI says.
All right.
All right, that's the messaging coming out right now from the FBI, and obviously ABC News grabbing that story first. Now, we've been talking about this here on InfoWars since the attacks launched. I know, you know, it was a weekend, obviously, when it took place. Alex and I both sat down, went through all the information that I was getting from those sources internally over the federal government, and a lot of them were very concerned about this. So now it's interesting, again, folks, it's hitting the mainstream media over a week and a half late, but that's exactly why you're watching this program, because we have the information before anyone else. Now, I want to make sure we drive this point home. When we sift through all the information, obviously Americans are deeply concerned about this issue. The president was asked about it. He's been asked repeatedly. He's been asked now so far two times. We played yesterday one of those clips for you, but we're going to play this other clip, because yesterday, again, he was asked about it in clip four. Take a listen.
Years that way.
And if they try to hit us back, have you been briefed about how many Iran sleeper cells there could be inside the U.S. right now?
I have been, and a lot of people came in through Biden with this stupid open border. But we know where most of them are. We've got our eye on all of them, I think.
Is it dozens?
They came in through the open border policies of sleepy Joe Biden. One of the worst president in the history of our country. And we've got our eyes on all of them. But the war itself is being prosecuted at a level that nobody's seen before. It's pretty amazing to watch.
The president saying they have their eyes on all of them. Now, here's the problem with all of that. As many of you guys know, earlier this month, we covered the testimony that was being given by the DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. She testified in front of the Senate. And then the following day, she testified in front of the House. Now, that was the Judiciary Committee for both of those chambers. Now, listen here. Because on March 3rd, Kristi Noem was asked about this by Senator Lindsey Graham. And this is the one that perked up my ears when we heard it on this show in clip five. Take a listen.
Of people on the terrorist watch list to come into this country. In 2023, 172. Do you know where those people are?
No, not necessarily.
So we don't know where they are. They're here, but we don't know where they are.
We don't know where they are. That's what the DHS secretary said. And then shortly after that, she was demoted, and she's now losing her position as the secretary of DHS. Now, again, a lot of people are saying that's due to the financial questions that are being brought about right now. But I would say that statement probably got the president fired up. Why? Well, because he launched the attacks against Iran. And if you didn't know where these sleeper cells were and they do attack, well, a lot of that falls on the president. So that could possibly be one angle to all of this. Also, keep in mind the reason why I believe Kristi Noem when she's telling us that they don't know where they are is Kristi Noem is under oath. So there's a lot of reasons why she wouldn't want to lie when speaking about the issue. Keep in mind, folks, we're dealing with the DHS partial shutdown right now. And we did get some good news yesterday. Our federal air marshals, we just talked about on this show with Sonny Labasco, they will now be paid. But a lot of these federal agents won't be paid, which is going to result, as you see so far with TSA, of massive amounts of resignations being handed over and people taking off so they could get other sources of income. That's going to happen. So how does this work out for our national security here on the homeland? Now, obviously, you and I both know that DHS does have a conglomerate of wasteful agencies under its belt. We know that. But the objective of DHS is obviously, and we hope it still is, to protect the homeland. So why would we do all of this? It's still the timeline just doesn't seem to make any sense. And as we sit around and we wait for the potential of a Islamic terror attack here on the homeland, we saw what happened in Austin, Texas. Again, by the way, we're still not allowed to talk about the motive. When these law enforcement agencies detail specifically what that Islamic terrorist was wearing that day, which obviously was property of Allah, was the hoodie. And underneath that hoodie was a Iranian flag shirt. When I went to his social media pages, it was quite obvious who he was backing. The Iranian regime was all over his page when it came to his stories prior to launching that terror attack. But again, they won't exactly connect the dots for you. These law enforcement agencies won't tell you what the motive is. They're still investigating. So hold off a little bit. Now, it's quite obvious what's going on here. And it's not even just a foreign terrorists that we imported over these last few years with the Biden regime occupying the White House. It's also domestic. We saw what happened, obviously, in New York City as well. And if you talk to experts like Amy Mack and others, they'll tell you that actually the most threatening ones are the ones that are domestic. They're being radicalized and sent over to places like Turkey, Saudi Arabia, then they come back into our country and we don't suspect it because they're American citizens. So it's one thing that you should really keep your eye on. Another thing, too, is what General Flynn is warning about in clip six. Take a listen.
There's some reporting now of some communications that apparently have been intercepted about waking up some of these sleeper cells right here in America. So when we talk about this war is not going to be just isolated to the Persian Gulf or Iran or even some of the Middle Eastern countries that you just stated and you have on the screen here, like when we talk about Lebanon or Iraq or Jordan or Abu Dhabi or UAE, et cetera. I do think that we're going to see an expansion of it. They may not be as strong as they once were because, of course, their Navy's been destroyed. Now they're continuing, Israel and the United States is continuing to pound on their ballistic missile capability. But the Iranian military is a powerful, powerful military. And I'm not sure we've even touched on their conventional ground force capabilities. I mean, they have a large artillery capability. They have a very, very extensive military. And hopefully some of these people in the conventional Iranian military will turn on the government and join the protesters. But I want people to understand that these guys have had like 40 plus years to prepare for this kind of thing. And they're not this is not a third world country at all. This is a very sophisticated country. They have clearly their problems ideologically, but.
As you see there, General Flynn is someone who you could trust when it comes to these types of issues and the subject matter too. He's been warning about the Islamic threat here on the homeland for quite some time. It's actually been one of his focuses these days, as he continues to go around the country warning Americans about the threat here on the home front. So very interesting to hear his perspective. Again, it's interesting because we'll hear from the mainstream reports that we've taken out the bulk of the military in Iran, and then you hear from General Flynn disputing those claims. So just something to keep in the back of your minds and just to remember. I want to shift gears a little bit. As many of you guys know, the president is very, very focused on passing the Save America Act. And I think every American gets it, besides those who are just far left, and they'll just never understand the idea of voter IDs. But the bulk of Americans, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, understand that you should have to verify your U.S. citizenship before weighing in on our federal elections. It is, in fact, common sense. Why? Well, because you don't want foreigners to interfere in our elections. And while the Democrats continue to go out there and say there's no such thing as illegal aliens voting in our elections, there's still the same group of people who will not hand over their voter rolls to the DOJ's Civil Rights Division because they don't want you seeing exactly how many illegals they've put on their voter rolls. If illegals weren't voting in our elections, then why do you think they imported millions of them over the last, 4 years of the Biden regime? There was a reason for it. There was a reason for it. That's why they specifically flew those individuals on private jets, whatever you want to call them, commercial flights. They literally went to countries like Haiti and just flew them directly into the Midwest, into regions that they would never be in before, prior to any of this. You know, Ohio, we talked about Ohio extensively. Ohio saw a significant amount of illegal aliens shifted over to them. Why? Well, because obviously this is all about voting. This is all about changing demographics throughout this country. And they didn't bring in people who were highly educated, who had backgrounds where they can contribute to our society. They intentionally went to countries where people were just poorly educated. Why? Because they would rely on our system, our welfare system, to carry them through. And that's exactly why they did all of this. This is all about the long game here, folks. This isn't a 4-year plan. This isn't a 10-year plan. They understand that when you import these people and you import them by the millions, they're going to be able to get their way on a lot of things. Now, hear me out. While we sift through all of this, obviously there's rumors that the administration, DHS, aren't doing mass deportations anymore. And I've reached out to DHS for comment on that, asking specifically for the figures of how many apprehensions are they getting per day now. When I do hear back from DHS, I'll bring you that figure. But the reality of it is, folks, is we're hearing all over the place that they're not doing mass deportations. Now, the White House yesterday did give me comments, and specifically they said that they're still going after illegal aliens that are criminals. Aren't all illegal aliens criminals, though? Again, the wording very confusing, and I hope they don't just mean the violent illegal aliens, because millions were brought into this country for the reason of changing this country. So let's shift back to the Save America Act. Lisa Murkowski is another one who we all know about, obviously. She's a Republican from Alaska. She was confronted yesterday by a reporter from Liddell TV in Clip 7. Hear how that one went.
Where do you stand on the Save America Act? Do you, support getting this legislation passed to protect elections?
Not as it is drafted, no.
Why not?
The implementation in a rural state like Alaska is going to disenfranchise an extraordinary majority. And while I support citizenship voting and voting ID, I want to make sure that it's implementable.
But she didn't give us any details as to where her problems all lie. Isn't that interesting when they do this, though? Isn't that interesting? They never really specifically tell you where their problems are in all of this. We hear Democrats, though. Democrats are saying, oh, well, women won't be able to vote because women, once you get married, your birth certificate's different from your, you change last name, so your birth certificate won't match. Doesn't make any sense, folks. Doesn't make any sense. Obviously, women will have to get new documents. It's common sense. It's common sense. But this is the nonsense that they're pushing, and obviously people like Lisa Murkowski are going to be the ones backing behind all of this. Why? Well, because she's another one. She's another one. You know, Project Veritas actually did an incredible job years ago after going after her and exposing her for the election issues that she was having in Alaska. She's one of the many people where you just scratch your head wondering, how did you get here? How did you get here? And obviously we all have our suspicions. But people like her are controlling the wheel right now. And this is the problem with all of this. And the president, I know he's really pushing for the filibusters to be tossed out. Obviously, he wants to push through the Save America Act. And there are other things that he's pushing for. The fact that we have to beg and plead these Republican, so-called Republican lawmakers to do their jobs and to back the president's agenda is absolutely disgraceful. But that's where we are on all of this. Folks, we have a lot more to dive into in just a little bit. I want to remind you, though, if you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, we just launched iodine over at thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off if you're a VIP member right now. And if you're not a VIP member, well, we'll still extend a discount to you, 25% off for everyone else, of course. And then we also have, for a limited time, this actually ends tomorrow, the America 250 t-shirts, the limited edition shirt. It's actually 60% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to stop what you're doing and head on over there before we run out. And again, we also have our March mega sale going on right now. So some of your favorite supplements are up to 40% off. That includes NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, and so many other supplements. So stop what you're doing right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That's where you're going to find it, of course. And if you haven't done it already, well, make sure you do this as well. alexjonesapp.com. Make sure you download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us. Regardless of whatever happens here, we're going to be shifting our efforts over to the next project. And that is how you stay in touch with us over at alexjonesapp.com. All right, more to discuss in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells, And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN Zone website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Waking up America, one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Welcome back to American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. There was big news yesterday in Texas. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton put out an incredible letter. And this letter, though, has to do with the Islamic takeover of Texas. And he's pushing back. And he's one of the very few who was bold enough to jump on this at the very early stages of what was happening in Texas. But Ken Paxton is now telling the Collin County Commissioner, the group of them, that when it comes to EPIC, now we've talked about that before, it's the East Plano Islamic Center, or if you want to call it the Meadow, that's their new PR stunt that they do these days. He wants them to reject any application submitted by developers. And this is key because, folks, I've talked about this extensively. I sat through these hearings. I've sat as they try to plead their case with the Collin County judge, trying to advocate to develop on the property that they purchased. And obviously that's being called into question on how they were able to acquire that land. But folks, Ken Paxton stepping in and says reject it because right now he's investigating the group and he doesn't want any of this happening in Texas right now. Joining me to discuss is Amar. Let me just make sure I'm pronouncing this right. More to
pronounce your last name for me.
Amir Mordazavi.
Mordazavi. I should have done this before we started, but thank you for joining me. He's a healthcare entrepreneur, an Iranian American, and we're honored to have him on the program today because there's a lot here to dive into. And, you know, Amir, I want to kind of talk about this because this is the part that I think so many people here in the great state of Texas are fired up about. We've sat back and watched as Texas is kind of grifting away and kind of turning away towards it. It's a Christian state. I mean, you could see it when you're driving around. The churches are everywhere.
Absolutely.
But now we're dealing with an Islamic takeover. But we're seeing Ken Paxton. He's jumping in this fight and he's pushing back. What's your take on the message that Ken Paxton put out yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's a great one. I think having been, you know, a victim of an Islamic regime from, you know, the country that I was born in, and, you know, being able to come to America, I'm very sensitive on that issue. And I think Ken is doing what he's always done, is protecting Texans, protecting Americans. And, you know, their plan, and if you go back to like 1991, when they found this doctrine about the Islamic Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, I apologize. They had a plan to infiltrate, populate, dominate, never assimilate, and create a caliphate. So that's their plan. And these communities that they want to implement Sharia law in is just unconstitutional. It's against our constitution. It's against Texas constitution. It's just, there's no way that they can do it. And they're finding ways to use our freedoms against us to infiltrate and create these communities. Whereas they've left countries that wouldn't give them any of the freedoms that they have currently. You know, like 85% of all refugees throughout the world are Muslim. And where do they go to? Where do they seek refuge? Not in Muslim countries, not in the 56 Muslim designated countries. So they come to the U.S. Texas is kind of a economic opportunity for really anybody. If you can't build a business in Texas, I mean, you can build a, anybody can build a business in Texas and it'll be, you know, very successful. They're coming here, starting businesses, creating communities, opening mosques. And it's just like, you know, for me, it's like PTSD. It's like Iran, you know, 45 years ago.
Yeah. And you fled Iran when you were a kid. And so that's the key point. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
But yeah, absolutely.
That's the horrifying part in all of this. And you know, I show up to these hearings. I try to watch what's happening. And, you know, in Collin County, that's where I am these days. We watch as they shuffle in these attorneys, these PR companies to represent them. And it doesn't look like, when you're just watching from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like these are Muslim groups that are coming in to purchase these land, this land at first. Obviously, a lot of the times they're using Christian groups. They're using these LLCs, which are Chinese-based too. And then they quickly swap them over to these Islamic LLCs. And then rapidly they try to build up on these pieces of land that they've purchased. I think Epic alone is like 400 acres.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. And that's the issue here. You know, the big argument when I sat on the most recent hearing in Collin County was in front of the judge, who's Chris Hill, who did an incredible job, I think, at being as fair and balanced as possible. It's Chris Hill. You know, there's a lot of obviously Christian conservatives who showed up and wanted to speak during this hearing. And Chris Hill did a great job at reminding those who did show up, like, listen, we're not debating on whether or not you agree with Islam. We're debating on whether or not, because it's obviously a freedom of religion argument. Like you said, they use our own constitution against us.
Right.
He tried to get them to go back to the conversation of, well, they have purchased this 400 acres and they want to develop and create this little Muslim compound on this property. Do we have the infrastructure to support that? And he tried bringing it back to that core argument, not because he doesn't agree with the religion angle to all of this, but he's trying to remind people that if this ever gets brought to a higher court, essentially, it won't go well for them because they're trying to argue religion. Now, obviously, you're very familiar with Islam. Would you argue that Islam is a religion? Because that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I just want to clarify something. Mm-hmm. I have very good friends and business partners that are Muslim. And I would say they're more reformed. You know, the main difference, I think, well, there's many differences, but one of the big differences between current Islam and Christianity is that Christianity is about 500 years older, right? So they've gone through a whole reformation. Islam hasn't, but the Muslims that are here in the U.S. that are assimilating to, you know, U.S. values and not being so rigid with, you know, the Quran is a violent book if you read it. You know, I think there's like 124 calls to violence in the book, and just comparing, you know, Muhammad versus Jesus, they couldn't be more dissimilar. You know, you've got someone that, you know, practices patience and, you know, love your enemies. Whereas, you know, in Islam, they say, you know, kill the infidels, you know, leaving the faith is punishable by death. Mm-hmm. It's just, they're two extreme, extreme opposites. And so, like I said, I think you can have reformed Muslims that come to the U.S. and assimilate to, you know, I say U.S. values, mm-hmm. separation of church and state. And that's one thing that Islam in general can't do. You know, there's no separation of church and state. That's the main issue with, even if they're reformed Muslims, it's, you're still beholden to the combination of church and state. So the like in Iran, an example, the Ayatollah, the imams, they run everything. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to be religious leaders, but they're running the country, like politics. The way, I would say, similar to the way the Roman Catholic Church did, the Pope did, mm-hmm. in like the 16th century.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. So what we just saw in New York City, for an example, we saw that these were, I believe, one of the families from the ISIS-inspired terrorist attack. Now, this is allegations. Again, they have not had their fair day in court, so we'll have to hold off on and just say suspected currently. But one of the families came from Turkey. The other family, I believe, came from Afghanistan. Yeah. And these are American-born individuals, these teenagers. What are your thoughts on this? Because people like Amy Mack, who's obviously an expert on the issue, she's studied it extensively throughout Europe and then here in the United States. She says that this is probably one of the greater threats, not those that we brought in over these last 4 years, but the people who are domestic, who are actual American citizens. Those are the ones that she fears the most.
Yeah. And like, you know, I would say, if you want to compare it to how Mossad plays the long game, mm-hmm. like they have probably agents that are in Iran, or probably school teachers and whatever, but they're loyal to the, you know, state of Israel. I'd say it'd be very similar for, you know, any of the Islamic terrorist groups that Iran has been the biggest supporter of.
Yeah.
I mean, not just Hamas, right? The Islamic Brotherhood, Boko Haram. I mean, they've given all the money that the Democrats gave Iran. They used to fund their terror campaigns for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So I do think also that, you know, from a politics standpoint, if you take out the political Islam, mm-hmm. it's absolutely compatible with the West. It's just that separation of church and state, right? Like, they left their countries. I'm talking about the Islamists, not the Muslims. Muslims, I'm fine with. But the Islamists that come here and they had religious persecution in, like, say, Afghanistan, mm-hmm. or Iran, and they come here and then they're like, they use our freedoms against us. They want to, you know, open these epic centers with Sharia law. They want women to cover up, you know, like, for me, that irks me. When I see a woman that's covered head to toe, freedom of religion is fine. I'm just like, if you didn't like, if you like to be dressed like this, you know, there's a country and a place for that.
Yeah.
Here, you can dress however you want. But when I see it kind of in the masses, it's kind of this Islamification of Texas and the United States.
Yeah, it's actually quite scary. When I came to Dallas 10 years ago just to visit, I love Dallas. And I was, when I first got the opportunity to go and move, I was all on board for it. So I moved about a year ago and I completely changed from what I was used to 10 years ago. And you're just walking around enjoying your time. And it's just such a significant difference over these last 5 years that it's really alarming. I want to shift it over a little bit, though, because when it comes to all of this, there's politicians that allowed this to happen. And Ken Paxton, before the polling came out, was the first one jumping on this and trying to fight back for the state of Texas. And I think that's really important. And people like John Cornyn, who's the U.S. senator right now, is being challenged by Paxton. He was never really on board for any of this. In fact, there was a video, and I keep posting and sharing because I think it's hilarious, where he's wishing everyone a happy Ramadan. And it's just not organic. It doesn't sound authentic when he's doing this.
Yeah.
He just seems to be doing it because he's trying to appease those who are now living in Texas.
And he says, inshallah.
I know. And
which means God willing.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah. I don't think he realizes any of this, though. But he's speaking out on the issue. But is he really? And that's kind of like the point here where I just don't seem to understand. Now, obviously, you know, you and I met during Ken Paxton's party that he was having over in Dallas. And it was interesting to watch because I honestly thought he was going to win that night. But now we're in the middle of a heated runoff race. And obviously, President Trump putting a little bit of pressure, saying whoever I endorse is great. Whoever I don't endorse should drop out of the race, because obviously there's been tons of money spent on Cornyn's side to keep him in this. Obviously, we talk about it. It's $100 million it cost him to get into the runoff. Ken Paxton, I think, spent like $4 million. So obviously that's significantly less. But most importantly, Ken Paxton kind of gave an ultimatum. And he's like, listen, if Cornyn and the Senate could get rid of the filibuster and eliminate that and also pass the Save America Act, I'll just drop out of the runoff race. In fact, there was a New York Times article that actually confirmed. Apparently it's true, but Ken Paxton sent that in a text message directly to President Trump. So President Trump knew that that's what he was doing. No word if there was a response from the president. But what do you make of all of this? Because Cornyn's awful for Texas.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time for definitely a Senate change there. Yeah. And I'm very supportive of Ken. I think he's a warrior. I think he's a fighter. And I think he's exactly what we need in Washington for us. I think that Ken is playing a little bit of, you know, political chess, too.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, he wants what's best for Texas. And so, you know, putting that narrative out there, I think, you know, gives Cornyn really balls in your court. Like,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Like, I'm trying to do everything I can for Texas. You know, if you do the same, I'll happily drop out.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening, but I think it's genius.
Well, we played a clip yesterday too of Cornyn like getting confronted by a journalist over at NBC News, and in the clip, he actually didn't even know what his op-ed in the New York Post it sounded like, what even said, because he was
I
like,
I saw that clip as well.
Yeah, it was so crazy. I'm like, did you write it, or was there a ghostwriter involved in this? Like, how do you not know
probably, because.
I mean, he's a very unlikable person, so I'd assume that they'd have to get somebody to write it for him. But then he released, and we're going to play this. I want to play the clip that he just actually, it's a campaign ad, and it's him taking a swipe at Ken Paxton and the Ten Commandments. Take a listen to clip 17.
What do a burner phone, a $1,000 Mont Blanc pen, and this cash machine have in common? They are symbols of Ken Paxton's depravity. Paxton used the burner phone and an alias to hide his affair from the mother of his children. Now his wife's divorcing him on biblical grounds.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
A Mont Blanc pen stolen from another lawyer because once a crook, always a crook.
Thou shalt not steal.
And while in office, Crooked Ken increased his net worth by up to 7,000%. Then used that fortune to buy 10 properties and claimed 3 of them as his principal residence to get cheaper mortgage rates.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Judgment Day comes for all of us eventually. This year, in Texas, Ken Paxton faces the voters.
Defeat the crook.
I'm John Cornyn, and I approve this message. Join my team and give today.
He's obviously a very unlikable person, and that ad just highlights that.
That ad reminds me of that movie, The Campaign, with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. Like, it's about a congressional race in like North Carolina, and it's just the same type of stuff. It's like, you know, I approve this message, and it's just ridiculous. I can't believe that they think that's going to move the needle with voters.
I don't think he understands what the pulse of Texas is right now.
No,
and I think he thinks that's
not
a good one. Well, that's and I don't like politicizing. You know, if you have marital problems, like that's something you deal in private. The fact that he's putting it on blast is just so. There's children involved, grandchildren.
Yeah.
You don't do those things. But John Cornyn is obviously not only just unlikable, but obviously someone who lacks a moral compass himself. And so to take these little jabs at Ken is absolutely disgraceful.
I think so, too. And I think, you know, like whatever your marital situation is, you know, I think irrelevant to, you know, how you can do a job.
Yeah.
Right. So let's separate, you know, the two right then and there. Right. It's like politics, religion, separate church and state, separate their personal life and their marital life with their, you know, because things happen. I mean, people fall apart, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, that was political theater at its best. Like, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
Like, who, I want to know the guy that was sitting in the tank saying, like, I think this is a really good ad.
I don't think he's ever gotten out of the tank, because I don't think he realizes that most Americans, they understand that we've all made mistakes, we've all sinned. And I don't think anyone's going to sit there and go, all right, well, I'm better than Ken. I mean, it's just so disgraceful that they would do just that. But again, I think a lot of this has been politicized from the beginning to go after him. But he knows this better than anyone. I mean, they tried getting him removed as AG just because he stood over President Trump. I mean, he went after those blue states that did their very best to manipulate our election in 2020. And as a result of that, I mean, they piled up on him. So it's kind of crazy. I mean, he's been very loyal to President Trump.
Absolutely. And, you know, the primary tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
You know, 4 million versus 100 million. And, you know, barely, you know, it went to a runoff. But I'm saying it was like, you know, a few points that would have made the difference. And, you know, Ken Paxton would have been going as the general election.
Yeah.
But I'm very hopeful. I think we're going to win. I think the Texas voters are going to come out for the runoff. I think they're going to do a great job. I think the campaign's on the right track, and I'm looking forward to May. I think it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a great one. I'll be back there. I cannot wait for that to take place. I want to switch over a little bit because we talked about in the open of the show in regards to the Islamic threat here and the homeland, specifically, though, Hezbollah, obviously, and Hamas. Now, the Biden regime allowed there just to be an open border. And obviously, we were flooded with known and suspected terrorists. And we've gone over the data itself. But the former DHS acting secretary, Chad Wolf, actually spoke out on this issue in Clip 18 yesterday. Let's take a listen.
How bad is the possible terror network here in America?
Well, it's bad, right? We talked about 4 years of the Biden administration. So over the course of 4 years, you had over 11 to 12 million individuals come into the United States, over 18,000 known or suspected terrorists, right? The National Counterterrorism Center just testified about that. Over 18,000 known or suspected terrorists tried to enter the country during Joe Biden's tenure, and a variety of them made it in. And so you combine that with the existing networks of Hamas, Hezbollah, and other proxies that have been here in the United States since the 80s, more or less, and it starts to paint a picture of a real kind of heightened risk and threat environment. Now, we have an outstanding law enforcement apparatus, FBI, Joint Terrorism Task Forces, and other things that keep the American people safe, but we're asking so much of them because we don't know who really is in the country, because I said it at the time, and I think we're facing it right now, is the 4 years of the Biden administration, we won't really know the destructive nature of their immigration policies for years and years to come. And I think we are staring down the barrel of that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know. And I had to sue DHS, and I won to find out how bad it was. I mean, they literally let convicted sex offenders into our country and fly on commercial airlines without IDs. I mean, it was really, really bad. Amir, I want to kind of, you know, get your take on all of this, because obviously the president launched his attacks against Iran and they've been successful from his perspective in all of this. What do you make of the threat here on the homeland?
Yeah, I think it's there's definitely, you know, it's a very high threat of some type of cell, you know, just based on the regime's history of brutality and terrorism. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, while no countries have come to their aid, really, I think the terrorist organizations that they funded will, and I think everyone needs to be on high alert. The thing about Iran is they've had 47 years to plan for this. So it's not Venezuela. It's not a third world country. They have a sophisticated, well, not compared to the U.S., but they have a real military, right? There's probably, I'd say, 2 to 3 million people, depending on what reports you believe, that are loyal, you know, military-aged men and women that are loyal to the Islamic regime in Iran. You know, it's a very small portion of the population, you know, maybe 4%, but those are the people we have to worry about, and everything else that they can, you know, bring to the U.S., you know, whether it's through Canada. I know they do a lot of stuff with through Canada with the terrorist groups in terms of getting them in. I mean, we always talk about the southern border. The northern border is, you can just walk through it, you know.
Yeah.
Just say, I'm going to get pancakes or maple syrup. And so we have to be very aware of our surroundings, being aware of what could potentially happen. And I think we have the right administrative team to kind of shepherd us through that. You know, I think the FBI's, you know, doing what they can, Department of State, State Department. I think we need to see what happens. It's sad because what's happening in Iran, you know, Iran's been basically in a war every 20 years, right? Like when the Islamic regime took over, Iraq thought they could invade Iran. Millions of Iranians died in that war. We were able to fight Saddam off. Then, you know, last year with the bunker busters that took out the nuclear facilities, you know, somebody told me the other day that Iran had spent $2 trillion on uranium enrichment. Think about the money that could have gone to, you know, schools and parks and their economy. It's just, it's a very sad situation for the people in Iran. I'm praying for them. I hope they come out of this okay. And I hope they, you know, take sovereignty for their country. They need to They need to be the catalyst. They need to be the ones that overthrow it. Ground troops isn't going to work. I think we learned a lesson with Afghanistan and Iraq, you know, as far as the U.S. involvement. But here we all have to be on high alert. You know, things can happen anytime. Just yesterday I was across the street from that that bar in Austin that was where that shooting happened a couple days after the attacks on Iran started. And, you know, I've walked by that bar many times. It's like right on the corner of 6th Street. It's very sad. So we just, we have to be careful. And I don't think that guy had any ties to Iran. I think he was just an Islamist.
Yeah.
So I'm less worried about what Iran, what the Iranian Islamic regime is planning. I'm more worried about these like lookalikes and copycats and Islamists that are just sitting around in, you know, Spokane, Washington or Houston, Texas or Miami, Florida and, you know, what they can do.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious that this is obviously, I think it's someone who probably acted independently. I scoped through his social media. I never posted any of the clips from his social media because he's obviously very radical and he's trying to inspire others to do what he was doing.
Yeah. Don't give him oxygen.
Yeah. So I keep it to myself. I just recorded everything and put it in a folder. But people like him, obviously, I think that the independent Islamists are the ones that I do fear because obviously they are acting independently. But I think a lot of Americans are worried that there might be an October 7th here on the homeland, and that could be obviously very scary. But I mean, we also heard the reports that the administration has intercepted a lot of their private conversations. So that's a little refreshing on that front. I want to keep diving into all of this, go into the history of Iran with you as well, because obviously your family is well versed on that. And thank God you guys were able to flee and make it here to the United States. So we'll dive into that. We'll also talk about the issues with our healthcare system, but more specifically the health insurance industry. Obviously, you're someone who's well-versed on the issue.
Very much so.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into that in just a little bit. Folks, I wanted to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we just launched the iodine over at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're a VIP member, which I think everyone should be, because when you are a VIP member, you're supporting our work over at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, we say thank you to you by extending some discounts, and you're going to get 50% off this item for our VIPs only. But if you're not a VIP member, we still support you and we still appreciate you. So we're going to give you 25% for everyone else. And it's not just that. We have so many great sales right now. The America 250 t-shirt, the limited edition shirt, is actually on sale 60% off. And that's going to last until Friday. So that means you're going to get it for $14.99 over at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we still have our March mega sale going on right now. Some of your favorite supplements up to 40% off. That includes NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, Sea Moss Gummies, MK Ultra, and so many incredible products over at the shop. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And let me remind you folks, if you haven't done so already, you got to do it right now. We never know when those front doors are going to lock. That means you got to stop what you're doing and head on over to the Alex Jones app, alexjonesapp.com. You see it on your screen. That's where you got to go to download the app. Again, our next operation, if that door does shut, will be over at alexjonesapp.com. And so make sure you have it downloaded on your phone so you don't miss out on anything. Again, alexjonesapp.com. All right, more happening in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better. at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.